Hey guys, we made it. Thank you so much for being intentional about listening to Succeed Intentionally. We are in season two. Yes, you are listening to one of the first episodes in season two for Succeed Intentionally, where we're almost at 1,000+ subscribers and viewers. I can't even believe it. But thank you guys so much for your dedication to just listening to me and to my guests and to the insight that God has given me. So again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be sure to go check us out on YouTube, because we'll have the visual versions of some of the podcasts that we'll be rolling out in season two. I appreciate you so much. And again, life fulfilled is life done intentionally. I'm so glad to be doing it with you. Welcome to another episode of Succeed Intentionally with Monique Davis. You guys know this is the podcast where we live life intentionally. So success is not connected to step-by-step guides. It's connected to each moment of your life that you choose to be intentional. And so on our podcast, we typically talk about succeeding intentionally and sharing different types of moments of opportunities that are part of our destiny, discovering success behind being intentional in your family, in your finances, in your business, and of course, in your career. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about being intentional and being successful in your career, whatever it is that you are, whatever industry you're in, whatever type of job title you have. And so today we have an amazing guest. His name is Charles Tone. And let me tell you something. He is such a cool guy. I worked with him years ago at a telecommunications company, and he is just the coolest guy to work for. And I decided to bring him in because he always has this really great demeanor about himself. And to me, he is what being intentional is about. Not just being intentional in his career, but like just in relationship building, in his life, in his family. He's just an all-around great person. And I know you guys are going to connect with him. And we're going to talk about a couple different things as it relates to business processes and just business process outsourcing, and just a little bit more about the business world, and to see if maybe that's something that you may want to get into. But we're going to just have him on, and we're just going to chat with him on Succeed Intentionally. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce Mr. Charles, a.k.a. Chuck. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
I'm excellent. How about yourself? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so happy to have you. How's it going over there?
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I can't complain at all.
Awesome. Okay, so hopefully my intro was okay, right?
Yeah, it puts a lot of pressure on me, but we'll go for it.
Yes, we'll go for it. So, Chuck, we have known each other for a while. Like when I first got my foot into the telecom door, I feel like you were doing BPO stuff over there, right? Was that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, that's where it all started, quite honestly.
Yeah. And so what I know about, you know, business process outsourcing is that it's basically just being able to contract certain type of work to a different provider that's outside of your company, right? And people kind of don't have that understanding of what BPO is sometimes, and I feel like they confuse it with some other things when they hear outsourcing. But so by your definition, would you say that my definition is okay, or like how would you define it?
Yeah, definitely. Right on track. It's basically taking processes that are going on in your company, mm-hmm. and outsourcing them to a third-party vendor, mm-hmm. Usually for the cost savings benefit. But it does get a bad reputation because people just hear outsourcing and that's all they hear.
Right.
But what I like to try to point out is that what you're trying to do is take work off of your people that you're paying to do something that only they know how to do, like an engineer, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer knows how to engineer. you want to keep them engineering, not doing all the data entry and all the other stuff. Yeah. So that's what you outsource to the other company, and you get the most out of your engineer.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah. So you basically, the stuff that you don't want to do, you don't want them to have to even worry about. So that's good. That's really good. And so tell me, how did you get involved in this world of business process outsourcing?
Well, it was really sort of by accident. At the company we were at, I had done some quality improvement, Lean Six Sigma, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was involved in engineering quality at that point. And then the directive came down from on high for our engineering division to start looking into ways to save money. Mm-hmm. Now, the company had already done some stuff offshore, and they just wanted us to take advantage of that. And our VP at the time just wanted somebody to take the lead on it and figure out things that we could outsource and get the cost benefit from. So I unknowingly just volunteered to take it on, and I learned as I went. So the rest is history.
Okay. So that's a little encouraging to so many individuals that, like, they feel like you have to have this large background and expertise in certain industries in order for you to just break in the door. But it was honestly just kind of by chance, right? That it happened, and you took it and really, really owned it and made it yours. So when I think about that, I think about being able to achieve just pretty much anything. You know, so like, how does that even work as far as like your mindset? Do you say, okay, am I going to go ahead and stick with this, or am I going to go and find me another job? What made you not go and find another job?
Well, some of it is, you know, just opportunities around you, what might be available. Maybe it's do you really like the company, but you're looking to advance or to get into something different? I've just found through the years, if the leadership knows you're that person that will step up and do different things, try things, take on things, do the special project, just do it because it needs to be done and you're willing to go do it. The success, the promotions, all that stuff will follow if they see that you will step up and try something new or help them out or whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's good. It's just stepping up to the plate, really, and just like you said, assessing where you are, like if you like your current job, if you like the current people there, if you like the company, then yeah, why not push for it and just step up to what you're supposed to be doing. So that's how it came into your lab. That's cool. My other piece was, for me, I've always had a bad taste in my mouth with outsourcing, just because a lot of times in the recruiting field, we get replaced by outsourcing. We get replaced by, and not here, but like when they ship the outsourcing overseas, right? And a lot of, again, like you said earlier, and like we kind of mentioned, a lot of times people get that really bad taste in their mouth associated with outsourcing jobs. And so how, because I feel like this is a relevant argument, but like, how do you, as a BPO expert or manager, how do you kind of get that whole thought process to change?
Yeah, so that is a huge part of what I do, is managing that perception. And in all honesty, some of that perception is true.
Yeah.
But it's how you manage the whole process, really. Yeah. So what I try to get people to concentrate on, or what I try to tell people, is, well, here's the deal. You have a customer that constantly wants price breaks. They want discounts. Make it, do it cheaper, do it faster, do it quicker. So companies want to respond to that. On the other hand, they have employees who want raises and bonuses and promotions and all these sorts of things. And I've been here 5 years, I have experience, I should be making more. So at some point, those two things cross paths. And if a company can't resolve that, a company will go out of business. They can't continue lowering prices and raising costs. That's just not a model that's going to work. So what I tell people is, yeah, sometimes it can be painful. That's very true. But you can either not do it and eventually the company gets to a point where they just go out of business. Now, everyone loses their job, or you try to manage it where, okay, I'm going to keep my experience. Let's take your case, recruiters. They're going to be my onshore face to the client, handle things onshore that only they know how to do, their experience, their contacts, that sort of stuff. And then we're going to supplement that offshore. So as you grow, true, maybe you don't hire as many people as you normally would. Mm-hmm. However, you stay in business and many of the employees you have keep their jobs.
Right.
So it is a trade-off. It's not all good news, but sometimes you kind of have to take the good with the bad. And in my position, I've always been the one that sort of has to deliver that message to people and and kind of make it okay. And it's not always a comfortable conversation.
Right. But do you feel like, so once a company like designates, you know, let's say your company or whoever, another BPO, for like a specific process, do they become over dependent on this process now? Like your flow, your workflow is like at this point a part of, or the vendor is a part of your workflow, and they're pretty much like dependent on you. Like, how do you, like, when do you, is there ever a cutoff time? Like, how does that even work?
Now, when you say dependent on the outsourced vendor or me in
my
position?
Like, yeah. Basically, you would be a part of their workflow now, right?
Correct. And that's how it's actually successful.
Oh.
The companies that can have their onshore teams embrace the offshore team and work together as a team, those are the ones that will be successful. If you can't get that going, it can be a hard transition. And it's much harder if you can't get them working together. So you do want them working together. You do want to be dependent on the offshore team. To your point, yeah, you can get to the point where they've done it so much for so long and so much of it that you start reassigning people other places, and then you do get to a point where, wow, if that BPO company went away, we'd be in a world of hurt. So you do have to be careful. You don't want to lose total control. You want to make sure you have the documentation, you got a couple subject matter experts. You can't let it totally out of your control, but yeah, a process can really flip over to the vendor and you don't see much of it.
Yeah. The other risk of the whole BPO, you know, process, I just see is the communication. I know in the past when they've outsourced, you know, like a talent acquisition or recruiting function overseas, the issue was the talent or the candidate having those communication and the language barriers. You know, it kind of limits the activities when you're, the company hires a service that's like not the English isn't their like native tongue, right? And with that big issue, because that could be a big issue, what's the solution, I guess, for that? If you're the person that's in charge of that whole process, how can you make that solution, that issue not seem so huge?
Yes, so I totally agree. That's a gigantic issue. What people forget is we talk to somebody offshore and we're like, oh, I can't understand the accent, it's too heavy, whatever. What we forget is they have trouble with our accents. So it's a two-way street there, especially when you start getting into maybe the southern U.S. with a bunch of southern accents or something like that. It can be really difficult for them. But in my opinion, not to call anybody out, I think sometimes companies get a little greedy and they want to save too much money. And what I try to coach them on is pay the extra little bit of money and get the resource who really has the communication skills, because they are there.
Yeah.
I've dealt with some offshore that you wouldn't know that they weren't raised next door to you down the street. You would have no idea. So they're there. they cost a little more, but especially when it's a lot of face-to-face with a client, potential people you're recruiting, whatever, it's worth a little extra money to get that.
Yeah. So that's good. I totally agree with it. And I didn't even think of it at the, how American of me. I didn't even think of it from a perspective of I have an accent. Like I'm the one that they're like, what are you saying? Yeah, because we have different vernacular and we have slang, you know, we say, hey, sometimes like, what is, hey, I thought it was hi or hello, you know? So I definitely understand that whole language barrier on our behalf as well. So tell me, as far as being a BPO person here, a professional, a manager, what are the key characteristics, would you say, someone who wanted to be in this field, what would they have to have?
So obviously the easy answer to that is somebody with BPO experience, right?
Right.
That's the obvious. If you don't have that, I would say I've given that thought over the years as we've tried to hire people and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you have to keep two things in mind. Anybody with a quality background, Lean Six Sigma, anything with process oriented, that sort of thing. Because a big part of what you're doing is getting processes from onshore to offshore. So how do you document that? How do you improve the process while you're doing it? How do you deal with quality issues, perceptions, all these types of things? I think that really good quality, you know, green belt, black belt background will help you in that. And then you have to be a person... it's one thing to be a manager over something and you control it. Mm-hmm. Typically in my position, you're kind of the liaison. You don't control the vendor typically, unless you're doing it within your company. That could be an exception. But if you're using an outsourced vendor, you don't control them. Now, obviously they're your vendor and you have some control over them, but you may not be the one managing that vendor. And then you have the operations that you're trying to move the work over. Well, you don't control that profit loss statement. Mm. You don't control that work. So you really have to be good at negotiating, influencing, almost like a salesperson to a degree, because you got to smooth over when there are communication issues, when there are quality issues. A quality issue that happens onshore, nobody may hear of it. It may just go away. A couple people talk across the partition. It's gone. A quality issue that happens offshore, it can get elevated to the VP before you can blink.
Mm.
So, and it can be the same issue. It's just how it gets escalated and who sees it. So you have to really be that negotiator, salesperson, liaison, process improver. You're kind of in the middle of it all, trying to make it all work for everybody.
Wow. Well, that's good to know. Those are some good qualities, but to me, what we call those are transferable skills. It's like you can pretty much have them in any position. Like you said, dealing in sales, dealing in quality, even talent acquisition, even recruiting, some of the skills that you said, I'm like, hey, those are some skills I've noticed from some recruiters and friends and colleagues. So, but I know that the market size of outsourcing right now is at, I feel like it's at $89 billion. So it's getting more and more popular and bigger and bigger. So it's definitely something that individuals who are, I don't want to say tired of sales, but it's definitely not a sales position. So if you're someone who wants to be like a client liaison, like you said, or would you call it like an account manager? Would that be also like a job title that could easily transition into business process outsourcing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something of that nature. Absolutely. Because it's not officially sales typically.
Yeah.
Again, depending on which side of the wall you're on, the vendor side or the, you know, client side. But yeah, you're selling, you're influencing, you're trying to make the case, the business case a lot of times. So yeah, anybody that's good with people, good with influencing to get things done, that's right up their alley.
Okay.
The BPO part, I think you can pick that up as you go, really.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really good for our listeners to know. So Tell me what the future of business process outsourcing looks like to you.
I only see it growing because, again, like we spoke about at the beginning, companies are just under constant pressure to do it faster, quicker, better, cheaper. You know, again, everybody wants it cheaper, but they still want it good and they want it fast. And really going towards some sort of outsourcing, that's kind of the only solution you get to. Again, Lean Six Sigma, that's also, you can improve your processes. There are other things you can do. But eventually when the pressure gets enough, you're gonna start looking for a solution like outsourcing. So I don't see how we can get away from it, and I don't see how it cannot grow.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally get you. Totally get you. I have a guest that'll be coming on in the next couple of weeks, and that's all he does is he kind of runs an outsourcing program for the Philippines. And yeah, it's crazy the types of things that they can do, and their rate, their pay rate that you pay them is ridiculously cheap.
Right.
And it's just crazy. And I saw a presentation that he did, and I was blown away. But I know I'm digressing, but I wanted to go back to the future of BPO. And you know what I really see? I see it really pointing to AI, like artificial intelligence and what is it? Like just software, like just anything dealing with technology. I feel like that's going to be merging or changing in with BPO, because that's what automation and optimization really is. It's helping things get done quicker, faster, and, you know, cheaper. You know, when you start adding those robotics and those the machine learning and all that technology and such, have you noticed anything as it relates to that whole automation thing happening on your end?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, several of our vendors actually are into the RPA. Forgive me, what RPA is exactly?
It's robotic
process automation, right?
Yeah, robotics,
yeah. Yeah, so they're already getting into that. They can create bots for us, fairly inexpensive. Our corporation is really just kind of dipping their toes into that pool.
Good.
But again, it is the next step. Believe it or not, you know, you're already outsourcing and now you put a bot in. So yeah, it's just going to keep going and going. And, you know, everything, some things lend themselves to it more than others. I think some things are going to be, personally, with recruiting, I've never had a lot of success with that offshore. I'm not saying other people don't, or, you know, it's no good, but I don't know that it works as well as, say, outsourcing data processing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, I agree. Well, they, you know, like I said, in my experience, I've had positions where they said, well, we're eliminating the entire talent acquisition team. We're going to outsource it. And literally within maybe a year, I'll say 8 months to a year, I get a call like, hey, would you like to do some contract work with us? I'm like, no.
I believe it.
So yeah, they it sounds good. The person sells them really well, right? Or the, I guess it's maybe the BPO manager that sells them, I don't know, but they get sold on the idea of it. And then when the plan doesn't necessarily go with candidate culture and, you know, really understanding qualifying candidates and all that good stuff. So I agree with you as far as recruiting. So my last question is just really based on an individual. Now we're talking to businesses because my audience is really diverse. I have all sorts of people that listen in on this podcast, from career individuals who are seeking to change their careers, individuals who own businesses, small to medium businesses. And I think BPO is, to me, perfect for that type of person who owns a medium-sized business and they can't necessarily afford to go. I mean, for big businesses too, but I really feel like it's good for those small to medium businesses. What would you say is the best way for a medium-sized business to choose a BPO vendor? Like, What do they look for? How do they do that? How do they choose a BPO vendor?
I think you have to look at somebody that can, will, and can handle the scale you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You have some of the large ones that, you know, they're looking for opportunities of 200, 300, 400 people doing whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. A medium-sized business probably does not have that.
But
in fact, I was a peer of mine just left for a smaller company that is looking for the medium-sized business. Mm-hmm. To, you know, work with them and that sort of thing. So, you have to match up with the vendor that will take something potentially as, I don't want to say small, but whatever the size of the opportunity you have, that will take that opportunity from you. So it's really just kind of finding the right match. You know, are you looking for call center help? Are you looking for somebody to do drawing CAD work for you? Or are you, you know, financial stuff? You know, what is exactly are you trying to outsource? And a lot of times they'll have ideas. You think, oh, I only have 10 people's worth of work. And they'll look at everything going on and say, nah, you really have about 30 people's worth of work.
Because
it's things you just haven't thought of.
Got it. That's good. All right. Okay. So, of course, I have to ask every person who's on this podcast, what does succeed intentionally mean to you?
I think it's not letting things just happen to you. You go out there and you make it happen. You look for the opportunity. You put yourself out there, like I was kind of saying before. You make your manager know that you're available for other things. A lot of times people only do stuff if it's in my job description. That's not my job that's not my job to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for that. I think succeeding intentionally is to go out there and say, I don't care what my job description is. I will do anything. I will help with anything. I'll learn anything. I'll go above and beyond. I'll stay late. I'll do extra work. I'll learn something that's totally outside of my job description. Companies will eventually recognize that, and they will reward that and promote that, and you will start taking off. But you have to do it on purpose. You can't count the cost while you're doing it. Just do it.
That's absolutely a great answer. I love that, Chuck. So yes, guys, you heard it from him yourself. Just be intentional. All of what he said is do it on purpose. Every move you make, every step, every meeting that you take, every project that you say yes to, you're doing it intentionally, right? And that's the mindset that I want each and every one of my listeners to have as they carry on throughout their life. You know, I don't just say career's done intentionally. I don't just say business is done intentionally. I say life done intentionally, because all of those things are connected, right, to your success, your family, your life, your finances, your business, and your career. It's all connected to your success. All right, Chuck, is there anything you want to say before we finish off?
I think we pretty much covered it. I would say just you don't see a lot of BPO stuff advertised, so sometimes it can be a little hard to find if it's something you are interested in. Yeah. Look in procurement organizations, that sort of thing. Larger companies, obviously, a little bit easier, possibly. But it's out there, and you can get involved. And many times you best be interested in international travel. So just know that might be a part of it.
that's what we should have said first. That's the first thing. People kind of see that as a perk, Chuck, believe it or not.
Yeah, the first few times it's a perk. After that, I don't know.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining our Succeed Intentionally family. The first time you come, you're a guest. The next time you come, you're family. So again, thank you so much. And guys, remember, life done intentionally is how you should live every single day. All right, I'll see you the next time. Bye.
Thanks, Winnie.